Tell the people what you're here for.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
An oppressed person will fight back.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
In Toronto, this is Radio Basics on CHOY 105.5. You listen to another edition of our show. We represent Basics Free Community Newsletter here on Toronto's best community radio station, CHOY. We got a big show lined up for tonight. We're going to be interviewing a local community activist out of Esplanade, talking about the situation struggling against police brutality down there. We got headlines as usual. And later on the show, we're going to bring on a culture correspondent from Basics Free Community Newsletter. We're going to be talking about the new MIA video, Born Free. Man, if you haven't seen this video yet, go check it out on the break. Or if you're in front of your computer, check it out while you're listening to our show. It's shocking, provocative, crazy, man. You got to see this video. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. And also interviews, top of the show, between 8:15 and 8:45. Without further ado, let's get to our headlines. So, in local news, Latino community organization launches a campaign to defend the British Columbia man being deported for his past affiliation with the Farabundo Martí National Liberation Front of El Salvador. On Wednesday, June 2nd, Barrio Nuevo held a public event at Romero House in Toronto to challenge the Immigration and Refugee Board's decision to deport the Salvadorian refugee José Figueiredo for his past links with the FMLN, which the Canadian government is contending, quote, engage in acts of terrorism and or subversion. José Figueiredo was declared inadmissible to Canada by the Canadian Border Services Agency and the Ministry of Public Safety due to his past association with the Farabundo Martí Front for National Liberation, a former opposition guerrilla organization during the period of El Salvador's civil war and brutal dictatorship in the 1980s. FMLN is now El Salvador's ruling political party. The FMLN was considered a legitimate belligerent during the course of the civil war and the military dictatorship, which, according to international law, gave it an official status and required it to abide by international laws governing wars and civil conflicts. The FMLN has not in the past, nor is now, listed as a terrorist organization in Canada. The Immigration and Refugee Board's decision could set a precedent that allows the Canadian government to block the admission of those associated with left-wing organizations into Canada as legitimate refugee claimants. In declaring its support for Figueroa and the FMLN, Toronto community organization Barrio Nuevo has said the FMLN is not and never has been a terrorist organization, and no one should be denied entry into Canada for having ties to the FMLN. Part and parcel to its support for the FMLN, Barrio Nuevo has come out in support. Last week on June 2nd, they held their community event coming out in support of the FMLN, and part in contribution to that campaign, they're going to be screening the world premiere of a documentary of Philadelphia-based documentary filmmaker Jamie Moffat, his return to El Salvador, which will be screening for its world premiere starting June 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the new Toronto Underground Cinema, which is located near near Spadina and Queen, if I'm not mistaken. The film will be screened June 17th, 18th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and tickets will be available for $10 and will be available soon. 20% of the proceeds from Return to El Salvador will be going to support the legal costs of the José Figueroa legal case and his family. In provincial news, the Valley Inco strike continues. The 11-month-long strike of over 3,000 workers going on in the nickel mines and smelters of Sudbury and Port Colborne, Ontario, and Voisey's Bay, Newfoundland, continues. Vale is a huge Brazilian-based mining multinational company which bought out the nominally Canadian-owned Inco in 2006. The workers are striking over company demands to force new hires to accept lower and less secure pensions and end the practice of supplementing basic wages of workers by paying bonuses tied to increased salary sales of nickel and eliminate important rights that workers have in the workplace. In an article written for the next issue of Basics, issue number 20, Herman Rosenfeld has written, quote, "This struggle has implications for all working people. We're currently in an era when employers are looking to take advantage of the crisis to further reduce the power and independence of working people's organizations and continue to squeeze workers' living standards and future security. We've also seen a torrent of propaganda by business against unionized workers who have made gains over the years, such as the auto workers and city public sector workers. The strategy is to divide all the working class. If the Valley workers are defeated, it becomes easier to attack all working people and take away past gains. It would also dramatically damage the already weakened union movement." Also in provincial news, Tamil Canadian fighting extradition to U.S. and absurd allegations. If the United States and the Superior Court of Ontario have their way, the young Tamil Canadian student and Waterloo resident Suresh Srikandaraja will be extradited to the U.S. in 2 days on June 9, 2010. The United States government is alleging that Suresh was involved in transferring computer software to the Liberation Tigers of Tamililam back in 2006. Even if these allegations are true, the act in question concerns a time prior to the banning of the LTTE in Canada. The United States government is demanding the extradition of Suresh to the United States to face charges based on the technicality that the server he was using, of the email account he was using, was based out of New York. The case of the well-credentialed Waterloo student, resident, and PhD candidate has inspired and rallied leaders and individuals from academia, the business community, religious communities, and the student body to come together to form the Justice for Suresh team, and they are doing everything they can to bring light to his case. The dean of the School of Business and Economics of Wilfrid Laurier University has written on Suresh, the Justice for Suresh website, that the individual that I have encountered is a person that's not only very intelligent and very socially aware, but in addition to that, he is applying his energy to make the school a better place. He's just an exemplary role model on all levels. The validity of evidence presented in such cases is not assessed in extradition hearings, but only on trial after an extradition has been executed. More important to note is that if Suresh's extradition goes through, the process will set a precedent to attack and justify the extradition of thousands of Canadians to the U.S. to face such charges, ranging from human rights activists to those connected with other legitimate struggles around the world. Even human rights activists can be targeted, evidently, under the repressive and sweeping measures of the post-9/11 war on terror. For more information on Suresh Srikandaraja's case, please visit justiceforsuresh.org. In international news, over the past week, protests have erupted all across the world in response to Israel's deadly and illegal siege of the aid flotilla carrying humanitarian aid to the besieged and illegally blockaded Gaza. At least 9 unarmed internationals have been confirmed murdered, dozens more remain in hospital or unaccounted for, and hundreds are kidnapped by the Israeli soldiers in international waters and later brutalized in Israeli prison. Considering that the flotilla was in international waters at the time of the siege, the raid of the flotilla constitutes a massive instance of piracy on the Mediterranean Sea. Tons of aid intended for starving Palestinians of Gaza have been stolen by Israel and is being blocked up from delivery to the people. Following up on the massive rally held in Toronto this past Saturday to protest Israel's unpunished war crimes and the Canadian state's unwavering support for the criminal apartheid regime, the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid here in Toronto will be organizing a public meeting this coming Thursday, June 10th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at OISE, which is the Ontario Institute for Studies and Education at the University of Toronto. That's 252 Bloor Street West, and people can check that out this Thursday. Moving on now to the Gulf of Mexico, where I'm sure you're all quite aware of the blundering disaster that has been Beyond Petroleum, so-called, and the passing the buck for one of the U.S.'s greatest environmental disasters. I got a track for y'all to hear. So over the night of May 12th, Mos Def apparently linked up with Ben Jaffe to write a song to the aid victims of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. given the little aid and help coming from those who caused the accident and those who should be holding them to account. So after an all-night session, apparently, what Mos Def and Jaff came up with was a track, Ain't My Fault, with the collaborative efforts of Lenny Kravitz, Trombone Shorty, Tim Robbins, and the Preservation Hall Band. But before I go to that track, Ain't My Fault, which is a beautiful track, I couldn't help reflecting on the irony of this track after having only 2 weeks ago saw the recent episode of Treme. I don't know if y'all been watching this. It's the new David Simon series. David Simon was a maker of The Wire, the 5-season series on the situation of inner city Baltimore. Incredible, brilliant series. And David Simon now created a new series called Treme, which is about post Katrina New Orleans and the situation of people in that city. And a couple less episodes back, one of the show's lead characters, Steve Zahn's character, Davis McCleary. So what he does, he enlists an all-star roster of local musicians to play on a free recording in order to raise money for his political campaign. And the essence of the recording was to shame. That was the name of the song. It was to shame the political leaders who were completely inept, unable and unwilling. Well, I wouldn't say unable, but definitely unwilling to help the people of New Orleans in post-Katrina New Orleans. And I couldn't help reflecting on the irony that a couple weeks after we this show episodes, actually it might have been only a few days or around the same time that the show came on the air, that Mos Def is coming out with this track, and the irony I saw was reality, you know, referencing and citing fiction, which is referencing and citing reality. Of course, both tracks citing the disasters that the people of New Orleans and the Gulf of Mexico have faced time after time again, by the ineptitudes of a government that doesn't care about its people and capitalism. So I'm going to play these two tracks for you. The first one is Shame from a couple episodes back from Treme. The second one, following up with that, is Ain't My Fault, which I introduced a moment ago. So check this out. This is Shame.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's...
Oh, hell yeah, I'm with you, New Orleans. Bring this bird down to 8,000 feet. Let's have a look see. Oh, no, that's not good at all. Your city's wet, really wet. It must be twice as bad on the ground. Twice as bad, you think? Shame on you, now dub ya.
Shame on you, now dub ya. Shame, shame, shame about what you've done.
That was Steve Zahn with the backup singers there from the episode of Tremé a couple weeks ago. David Simon's new series on post Katrina New Orleans. A pretty brilliant series. Almost as good as The Wire. I can't say that it's as good as The Wire quite yet. It's only a couple episodes into the first season. But check it out, man. It's an HBO series, but download it. Just watch it online. Brilliant series. So that was Tremé mocking reality, right? That was Tremé speaking out against a song about post-Hurricane Katrina. And let's move to the real now, real popular culture. This is Mos Def and Lenny Kravitz speaking on the more recent disaster in the Gulf of Mexico of Beyond Petroleum. Check it out.
We'll be right back.
Jeff and Lenny Kravitz, the Preservation Hall Band, Trombone Shorty, Tim Robbins, with Ain't My Fault, Man. And before that, that was Tremé with Shame, Shame, Shame. And two recent examples of popular culture standing up and indicting this criminal, inhuman system of capitalism that we live in. Absolutely brilliant. Stay tuned. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking with a cultural critic from Basics for Community Newsletter on MIA's new video, Born Free. Man, if you haven't seen this video yet, you got to check it out. It's highly shocking, highly provocative. It's been banned from YouTube and some other places. I don't know if it's getting any play on MTV, but definitely getting hundreds of thousands of uploads on the internet. Check it out. We're going to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Daniel from the Esnog Community Group, Radio Basics.
You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio.
Radio Basics, we're back on CHOY 105.5. On the line with us tonight is Daniel from the Esplanade Community Group. The Esplanade Community Group has been involved in organizing the people in the neighborhood around issues of police brutality and police terror in the neighborhood, housing rights, workers' rights, and a number of other campaigns. Daniel, thank you for being on the line with us tonight, brother.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
So tell us about the work you guys have been doing the last little while. I had you on the show about a month and a half ago. You guys have been, every time I have you guys on the show, you're telling us about another case or another few cases of police terror in the neighborhood. What's up now?
Well, you know, as we know, a lot of the times the police won't stop. So, you know, it's a constant battle that we have in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But even recently, one of the more recent cases we've had is a middle-aged Caucasian brother in our neighborhood experienced some police terror and some police brutality when he was walking home one night from a bar. He was stopped by a police officer. The police officer said, "You fit the description of someone who was in a car accident." He said, "I don't even have a car." And when the officer tried to get him to go to the car and he refused, he got thrown up against a wall. And what the brother did is he just called out for people in the community, just kept screaming, like, "Yo, everybody, look what's happening. Look what the cop's doing to me." So, I mean, that kind of call for help. Mm-hmm. And the kind of community response that they had drew people out. They started looking. The cops saw, okay, I can't just, you know, beat up on this guy. People are going to witness this. So he stopped the harassment right there.
Now, I understand that the Esplanade Community Group has to be credited with that kind of response that has been created. I mean, obviously, the people are now coming out and defending people getting attacked by the police. But you guys have been really instrumental in organizing the people to those ends, huh?
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, what we try to do is we're trying to build a greater sense of community, you know, responsibility for each other in community and to kind of look out for each other, kind of bring back what community really means. So, you know, when there's somebody maybe young or old, you know, regardless of class, regardless of race, experiencing some form of police brutality, you know, as fellow members of the community, we have to be out there looking out for each other and making sure we can do whatever we can to help.
Mm-hmm. So how does this work that you guys have been doing around police brutality link up to some of the other campaigns you're working on?
Well, you know, the police brutality thing obviously leads into a lot of things. We had, the unfortunate story of Junior Manning come around, and we've been kind of campaigning a bit around that, too. But the police brutality work, it's ongoing work. You know, we've done, like, Know Your Rights seminars, so a lot of the youth and a lot of the people in our community know their rights when it comes to it. And yeah, that's what we've been doing with it.
So I hear you guys got I don't know if it's a fundraiser or just an awareness event coming up this Friday. Power to the People. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no problem. Power to the People. It's going to be a great event. It's happening this Friday. It's basically a fundraiser for our group because, you know, we don't get any funding from the government or anything like that. So we have to raise funds through the community. So it's going to be a community event. It's going to be at 6:30. At the Lorraine Kinseth Theater for Young People, which is located at around Front and Frederick Street, close to Sherburn and King area downtown. Mm-hmm. We're going to have rappers, spoken word artists. We're going to have speakers. There's also going to be different organizations setting up tables and stuff there. And we're basically just trying to raise some money so we can run some programs for the youth and the people in our community.
Mm-hmm. What kind of programs have you guys been running right now in the last few months or the last year?
Well, some of the stuff we've been doing is we've been doing our movie nights, which have become kind of popular. Sometimes it's youth movie nights that we have, or sometimes it's just for all age groups. Mm-hmm. And people come out. Actually, at the last event, if I could just mention really quickly, we had Chris Moyes, who's actually running for school board trustee, come out. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to the community, and he was looking to our organization to get, you know, for us to kind of back him and support him and endorse him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a few things, you know, a lot of our work is to do with youth. So he's running for school board trustee. We thought this is a great opportunity to see what people that are running for trustee want to do for our communities and for our youth. And, you know, we made it, we kind of showed him that the community really wants cops out of schools. They want no cops in schools that to disrupt learning. And they also want better programs for youth to move into the workplace so that, you know, youth don't get caught up in negative forms of making money.
Yeah.
So, you know, after some pressure from us and kind of him realizing that this is a great opportunity, great things to take up, he actually changed his platform to include that. So Chris Moyes is running for school board trustee for the downtown Toronto Centre Rosedale Ward. So we can do stuff like that. But, you know, we have events for youth. We have events for adults to come out. So we want to continue that same kind of work. Also, mm-hmm. like a tutoring program. We want to be able to have an office with youth, be able to drop in, do resume workshops, all that kind of stuff. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Whatever people in the community do, a lot of our tenant work, be able to get lawyers for defense funds if necessary, especially against police brutality and police harassment. So those are the kind of programs that we're trying to run.
Now, why do you think it's been necessary to create this organization? How come something like this doesn't already exist? Or how come the organizations or the institutions, the agencies that exist can't really do this work or aren't doing this work already?
Well, I mean, one thing is we're trying to look at the reasons why these conditions exist. You know, there's a lot of organizations out there that, you know, they treat everything at a surface level. They say, okay, youth are selling drugs. Well, we're going to make sure that, you know, we're going to tell them that selling drugs is bad. And sometimes we have to realize that, you know, these are socioeconomic conditions that we have to live in. And the thing is, why are we in these conditions? Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of this, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of this states, you know, comes back to politics. It comes back to what is your government doing for you? You know, we all pay tax dollars, now paying even more tax with the HST, and we're getting less and less and less. And, you know, when you realize that in your neighborhood and you see the neighborhood that you grew up in crumbling socially, you know, you see the loss of the loss of community, the loss of community values, and you see police just brutalizing youth. You realize, you know, somebody has to stand up and do something. You know, we can all turn a blind eye, but you always have to have one person that has to stand up if you really want change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all power to the people, man. All power to y'all for doing the work that you're doing. It's, I mean, I've had the privilege of being witness to some of the work that y'all are doing. You guys work closely with Basics Free Community Newsletter. You know, we're proud to serve your community and the work that you're doing. It's some of the most exemplary community work I see going on in the city, man. So all power to y'all, man, for real.
Thank you very much. Just really quick, I forgot to say, if anyone wants any tickets to the cultural event that's coming up on Friday, mm-hmm. you can email esplanadegroup@gmail.com, or you can check us up on Facebook at Esplanade Community Youth Group. It's just a Facebook group, and contact us and we can get tickets out to you.
No doubt. And we got your event listed on basicsnews.ca, so people can check that out as well.
Awesome. Perfect.
All right. Daniel from the Esplanade Community Group, thanks, brother, for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, man. Right. Much love, brother.
Much love. Check out this track. It says Running Wild, Running Wild by Dead Prez and DJ Green Lantern. We're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back with some. We're going to talk about MIA's new video. Produced by Romain Gavras, Romain Gavras being the son of Greek-French political filmmaker Costa Gavras. You know, made a lot of really serious films back in the 70s and 80s, all the way up till not too long ago. We're gonna talk about that video. Before that, we got a track and a commercial break. Check it out. Radio Basics.
Inspiration that came from Black and Latino young people from the ghettos.
Police can't wait to get from mama house. Hopped off the porch, old enough for some drama now. Pistol in his pocket, barely strong enough to cock it, but he ain't scared to pop it. Got a heart like Colossus. Mama ain't home, daddy locked down. Still his gold chain swing, pants sagged down. He be clean, fresh Caesar, new jeans, new sneakers. Middle finger to his teachers. A rebellious young genius, little Bobby Hutton, 09 version. Ready to touch something, no matter what. Determined to make his life worth something. Keeping it gangster, cause the young black male is in danger. One slip, I hit these crackers, I hang ya. Only the strong survive, no choice, you gotta ride. Young in age, but your mind is wise. Walking strong with a king touch, strutting your stride. Black pride, and I'm young, hungry, born to survive. Don't collide with them.
Yeah, I hear all that righteous shit you talking, man. Fuck that, I gotta get out here and get this money, man. My daughter feet grow. it's not easy to do. Either you're choosing your path or your path to choose you. Lil Kazi got big shoes to fill for his fam. He's so young, it's hard for him to understand that he the man of the house. He know the time, his mama work overtime, and his attitude. Go to school just to battle MCs in the cafeteria. Fell asleep in third period to the theory that the president is black, so he should try to be that. Better yet, put a gat on your back and go to Iraq. But he already done chose a side, a bona fide people army soldier rolling for life. Mind sharp as that switchblade, knife in his back pocket. Ain't no crack in his sock, he got bigger dreams. And even more than money counting, he ready to move mountains. The future Kwame and Kuma, and he know it's a dirty job, but somebody gotta do it.
Yo, you gotta feel me, man.
Fist up, khaki don't stack, bandana rag, twist up, hood fry, unified, G'd up, ride or die, street tribe, real soldiers don't die, we multiply. I love to see the homies clicked up, fist up, khaki don't stack, bandana rag, twist up, hood fry, unified, G'd up, ride or die, street tribe, real soldiers don't die, we multiply,
we multiply.
Hundreds of thousands of people are living without basic rights, without full status, without having their voices heard. Think it's somewhere else?
It's not. It's right here in Canada. Radio Migrante is a unique space where migrants can voice their concerns, share their stories, and talk about the struggles and resistance that make up their lives. Join us, Maya
and Marco,
every other Wednesday at 4 o'clock for Radio Migrante.
Only on CHRY.
Radio Basics, we back. Not sure how many of y'all have seen the MIA new video, Born Free. If you haven't, I've been imploring you to go check it out before we had our conversation tonight. Because for those of you who haven't seen it, if you're in the car, we don't want to give it all away in terms of what this video is all about. We won't deal with the specific content, but really this video is making a huge impact right now. And on the line with us tonight is Jesse Benjamin, longtime organizer with Basics Free Community Newsletter, frequent columnist, and tonight, a cultural critic. Jesse, what's going on, man?
I'm just trying on my new hat as a cultural critic.
Cultural critic for Basics. So
I think it'll fit well.
You think it'll fit well? I'm hoping so. We got an article coming out from you on this this MIA Born Free topic. The next issue of Basics comes out the end of the week, issue number 20. So, I don't know. Let's start with MIA. Who is MIA, for people who don't know?
For those who don't know, MIA, or Maya Arul Purgatham, she's a British musician, record producer, fashion designer, activist, visual artist. She's really a total jack of all trades. She's of Sri Lankan Tamil origin. Her music can kind of be described as a fusion between, you know, dancehall, jungle, electro clash, world music, and a whole bunch of other influences. Which, unlike, you know, a lot of fusion acts tend to be very gimmicky. You know, like it's sort of a fusion of two things that never really quite goes together, but she's got a really unique style that really brings it all together. She first came to prominence in 2004 with her tracks Galang and Sunshowers, but really blew up in 2008 with the release of her second album, Kala, which, especially with the track Paper Plane, got used on Pineapple Express and Slumdog Millionaire.
And Slumdog Millionaire, that's right.
Yeah, so that was the track that really made her huge. And that got her nominated for 2 Grammys and Academy Award. 2009, Time Magazine put her on the 100 list of world's most influential people.
Yeah.
And this is someone who's coming from a refugee background, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question I had with somebody like MIA, and this is the question I have with Kanan right now, right? Is here you have this really political artist, starts off extremely political, and then blows up, literally takes the world stage, and everybody's eyes is on this artist, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen so many artists do this. And, you know, I was wondering, just like I'm wondering with Kanan right now, after coming out of the World Cup with his song being the anthem of the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, you know, being a poster boy for Canada right now, you know, at a time when Canada is occupying peoples all around the world, carrying out wars of aggression and occupation, here you have Kanan being the poster boy. You know, I'm wondering with Kanan, and I was wondering with MIA, what's going to come next? Are you going to bring the politics, like, right in front and center to the music, and then we have this video, Born Free.
Yeah,
what's this all about?
It's gonna be right up there. I mean, she's always been known for mixing really radical politics and social commentary with her music. I mean, throughout her career, she's been making frequent references to militant movements such as the PLO and the Tamil Independence Movement. And she's frequently had to battle censorship and attempts by governments to stifle her because of that. Like 2006, the U.S. refused to grant her an entry permit to tour in the United States.
Really?
Yeah, and they even put she's even briefly on the Homeland Security risk list.
Wow.
Which, I mean, a lot of people are just like, okay, that's political. MTV also censored the lyric in one of her songs that said, like the PLO, I don't surrender. So they basically called her in for an interview and like, you know, if we're going to put this on, you have to like explain to us what you mean by that. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So yeah, they basically cut that lyric out. And then most recently her video for Born Free got taken down by YouTube, cause they claim it violated the terms of service that bans anything that's pornographic or gratuitously violent. It's a real stretch to be able to say that. There's like, you see a nipple for a tenth of a second.
Okay, so you know? Even there is...
Like, there's violence, but it's definitely not gratuitous.
Okay, so you have a bit of nudity, and you have some serious graphic images in the video, but couldn't that just be edited down and the video still posted on YouTube?
It's the sort of thing like, because the violence isn't gratuitous, you know, that kind of means that it kind of needs to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have the same message by taking that out. And especially given, like, we're living in an age of shock and awe and war and occupation, you know, I mean, I think the kind of criticism that's going to come out of that, and then I think this video is making, I think it needs to be in your face.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no way to really make that nicely. You know.
It really hasn't mattered that YouTube hasn't carried it because it's got hundreds of thousands of hits already wherever else it's been posted, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I think the thing that this really shows is that, you know, there is a tremendous amount of democratic potential to the internet. And even the fact that they haven't been able to censor it really says something. You know, but at the same time, you've still got a lot of really big major sites. Like YouTube is, you know, it's now part of Google, which is, you know, one of the biggest companies on the planet, which now has the power to, you know, say, yes, you know, this can get in, no, this, versus no, this can't. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I mean, when you look at a lot of other videos of, you know, stupid teenagers breaking their legs and, like, doing violent things, you know, that stuff doesn't get censored, but this does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which makes me think that is politically motivated.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the producer of this video, who is Romain Gavras.
The director?
Yeah, the director, yeah.
Yeah. Romain Gavras, interesting character. He's still fairly new, because, he's done a few music videos. He did another video for the band Justice. Definitely, like, he's got a very, very gritty, realistic edge to the stuff that he does. And also, like, militant politics really runs in his family. His grandfather was active in the Greek resistance against the occupation, the fascist occupation during World War II.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, his grandfather was actually imprisoned after the war because he was a suspected communist, which back in Greece in those days could get you thrown in jail.
Yeah, as if there weren't 5 million communist in
Greece exactly.
back in the day.
Yeah, and he's also the most famously the son of Costa Gavras, who's a famous Greek-born French filmmaker.
My favorite filmmaker.
Yeah, amazing. Actually, I think you're the guy that turned me on to him. Because I've seen a lot of his films. After once you see one of them, you got to see more.
You got to see everyone. You're like, I want to see everything this person has ever made.
Yeah, because I mean, he does really fiercely political films, but they also work just as like really amazing thrillers.
Yeah,
you know, like it's very 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 amazing filmmaker. Really,
what are some examples? There was the most famous one being on the Greek dictatorship in the 1970s. Zed.
Right. Yeah, Zed or Z. That was a great film. He tends to focus really a lot on international issues, tyrannical governments, right-wing dictatorships, and also popular movements that fight against them.
Mm-hmm.
Some movies like State of Siege, which was about the Tupamaros in Uruguay fighting the military government.
Mm-hmm.
Missing, which actually had some American actors in it as well.
That's right. Was that on Argentina? Or was it like a mock-up of Chile in 73?
I think that was sort of like... Like, it's sort of a stand-in for pretty much any Latin American country.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they actually named the country.
That's
it's
right.
It's
That's
about,
right.
you know, people who got disappeared by those governments, and the American parents go down to Latin America just trying to find what happened to their kid. He's also got movies like Amen, which is about the conduct of the Catholic Church during World War II.
Yeah, working with the Nazis, right?
Yeah, which, when we see the scandals that are blowing up in the Catholic Church right now, was quite a timely film.
Yeah.
And also one of his more recent ones, Le Coupere, where it's more of a sort of political thriller / black comedy.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant movie.
Yeah, which is really, really funny in a very dark way.
It was about a CEO who lost his job, and then he puts out an ad for all the other executives in his line of work, and then collects his resumes, and then goes out and tries to assassinate them all.
Yeah, because he can't get a job in the new economy. You know, other people keep beating him. So he's like, well, there's only so many people who've got my skills, so if I just shoot them all, I'll get
the job.
They'll
have to hire me.
Yeah.
So this is Costa Gavras, father of Romain Gavras, who is the director of this video, Born Free, MIA.
Yeah.
How do you...
His first film is actually coming out in September. It's called Our Day Will Come.
Really?
Which actually, if just remember Our Day Will Come, and then look for it in the video, and it'll stand out.
Our Day Will Come. What's the content of the film coming up?
So far, the only thing that's been released is like a little teaser. All that's really known is it's actually about a redheaded guy who faces ostracism from his peers and townsfolk and makes a run to Ireland, the land of the redheads, to like try to find freedom. But that's pretty much all that's known about it right now. So
okay.
far, the only thing that's been released is one little teaser snippet and... But yeah, so far it looks quite amazing. So definitely a director to watch out for.
So if it's a Gavras film, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Mm. Without getting into the content of what exactly Born Free is about, people just have to see it. And everybody I talk to has a different perspective on what this is trying to say. They know what it's referencing, but they just don't know what to think about it. So without giving it away for the people who haven't seen it, once again, MIA Born Free, go check it out tonight, download it, watch it streaming, whatever you can. What are you making?
Up on MIAUK.com, her main website.
Yeah, MIAUK.com, that's right.
Yeah.
What do you make of this? How do you interpret it?
It was definitely something you have to watch a few times. You know, like at first, it's really just sort of stunning. Like there's a few moments where your jaw just kind of drops, and you know it's pretty rare that you see something, especially in a music video, and especially in a rap music video, which is kind of known for women in G-strings. You know, that you're actually confronted with something that really makes you have to stop, think about it, and rewatch it.
Yeah, it's basically a short film.
Yeah, the whole thing is about a good like 8-9 minutes long, so it's more of a short film than a music video. I think it's definitely talking about like the rising police state in the United States and other countries, how minorities and working class people are treated by the government, and I mean also, you know, sort of placing it within the times of, you know, this is shock and awe, you know, this is war, this is Guantanamo Bay, you know, but sort of reconceptualizing and putting it in a more familiar situation for people, and also targeting a group that, you know, no one feels threatened by, you know?
Yeah, no one feels threatened by and, you know, say for the last 100 years has been considered white. But 150 years ago, depending on the place in the world, for example, in Britain or another place, you know, I think it really spoke to the arbitrariness of racism. Arbitrary in the sense that what eventually becomes racialized, you know, yeah. what features are end up, you know, getting casted as the other, you know, the racial other, is quite a historically arbitrary phenomenon. Those in power otherize those who are different on the basis of certain characteristics. And
also showing the militant resistance to that, how in some ways like that is created by that situation that is created by the oppression.
Yeah.
You know, that by, you know, targeting a group of people, you then engender that kind of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people are forced into it, because what else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to, you know, it's either, you know, hang together or you hang separately, you know, as they used to say.
Do you think this film maybe also, or I mean this video also referenced contemporary Israel-Palestine?
I mean the kid
throwing the rock at the tank with a kafir, right?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's definitely in there. I mean, showing like the different determination of resistance, and also, I mean, just the absolute brutality that some people are confronted with.
Yeah.
You know, and then what do you do in the face of that?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna play the song now. I'm gonna play the 3.5 minute version of the song,
awesome.
Not the video. It's MIA Born Free. Go and download it or stream it on your website tonight. Check it out, miauk.com. Let us know what you think, man. Write basics.canada at gmail.com. We're gonna have an article coming out on this by yours truly. Well, not yours truly. The on the other line, Jesse.
I don't
know how that works in the second person. Jesse, thank you for coming on the line tonight, brother. And we look forward to your article.
All right,
the new cultural critic for Basics. Thanks a lot, brother.
Take care.
All right, good night.
Bye bye.
This is MIA Born Free. Check it out.
You could turn it all away, feel me happier. You might end up feeling Ethiopia. You could bang, bang, wake up, hey, yeah.
And I was born free, MIA. A song which, if I had to guess, and this is just a guess, was probably made for the video. Not the video made for the song, but I'm guessing that the song was probably made for a video, preconceived to make an intervention at this moment of such extreme brutality and horror being conducted everywhere throughout the world by governments like Israel, Colombia, Sri Lanka, backed and in some cases executed by governments like Canada, Britain, the United States, the imperialists and their puppets. You got to see this. You got to see this video. MIA Born Free if you haven't already seen it. Before we wrap up our show for tonight, we got a couple of community event announcements. First of all, let's we had Daniel from the Esplanade Community Group talking about their organizing against police brutality and mobilizing the people, bringing unity to the community. Power to the People is occurring this Friday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. Music, drinks, art, politics, community. Come out, check out these incredible artists from the neighborhood. Support their work. Tickets are $10, $5 for youth. You can contact them at esplanadegroup@gmail.com. The location is the Lorraine Kimsa Young People Theater, 165 Front Street East. Starts at 6:30 p.m. It's going for a while, so check it out. Drop in if you can. You can find more information about that at basicsnews.ca. The second event, which is also happening that night and in the area not too far from where Junior Manon was beat to death by police and not far from where I'm sitting right now here at York University, we have a fundraiser this Friday, a 19-plus event starting at 9 p.m. The event will be held at the Latin Fever, which is 2220 Highway 7 at Keele Street. This is a fundraiser and a memorial for Junior Alexander Manon, and the money will be going to the Justice for Junior campaign. It's $10 in advance, $15 at the door, many musical performances. The event is being organized by Barrio Nuevo and Los Morenos. And you can, for more information, you can also visit the basicsnews.ca. And finally, issue number 20 of Basics Free Community Newsletter is coming out the end of this week. And in order to raise some funds for ourselves at Basics, we're going to be having a barbecue fundraiser. In the park, in the hood, Symington and DuPont at Carlton Park on Sunday, June 13th, 2 to 4 p.m. Basics Free Community Newsletter. We're having our launch party. It's summertime. We're chilling out. We're having a barbecue. Come meet some Basics members, our supporters, our community activists. Come check out what we're doing. Hopefully get involved. We're going to have a game of soccer. We're going to have children there, some people to look after the kids. So come check it out. Again, basicsnews.ca. Check it out for more information. That's all we have for tonight. This is Radio Basics. I'm Steve DeSilva. We'll see you next week, Monday. Here as always, 8 o'clock, Radio Basics on CHOY 105.5. Toronto, I love you. We're out.
Tell the people what you're here for.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
An oppressed person will fight back.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.